This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
An American warship runs out of patience. I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, October 13. Glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
For the second time this week, a U.S. Navy ship took fire from rebels in Yemen. But this time, a warship responded with cruise missiles. Hear the damage report.
Two women tell the New York Times they were groped by Donald Trump years ago. Hear the accusations and how the Trump campaign is responding.
WikiLeaks has released another batch of emails from Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta. At least one exchange shows the close ties with a big media organization.
And what you can do starting today to prevent traffic jams during your commute.
There are ways of driving that will actually ease congestion by moving and using your vehicle in different ways. Before a jam forms, as you see a jam beginning to form, interestingly enough, there are ways that you can drive to open up space for other people and keep the congestion from getting worse.
Wall Street Journal writer Sue Schellenbarger on the techniques and approaches that a single driver can use to ease traffic. She's here in about 20 minutes. For the second time this week, a U.S. Navy ship has been fired on off the coast of Yemen, and this time America responded. The U.S. struck and destroyed three coastal radar sites in Yemen earlier today, all within Houthi-controlled territory in the southern part of the country. We get more now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The military response involved a series of Tomahawk cruise missiles being launched by the USS Nitza, a destroyer warship. The targets were ground radar installations that U.S. officials believe were used by rebels to track the movements of American ships. The strikes came after the USS Mason was targeted for the second time in 3 days by Houthi rebels, who are supported by Iran in a battle against a Saudi-led coalition in the civil war in Yemen. The U.S. is backing the Saudi coalition. The destroyer was not hit or damaged. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The Wall Street Journal says Washington has tried to strike an uncomfortable balance in the war, backing the Saudi-led air campaign, but criticizing Saudi officials for excessive violence against civilians, especially after dozens were killed when strikes hit a funeral recently. Bombshell new report from the New York Times, which says Donald Trump groped, touched, or acted inappropriately toward a couple of women years ago. The Times reported two women's detailed accounts of Mr. Trump groping them. One woman, 74-year-old Jessica Leeds, says that more than three decades ago, she sat next to Mr. Trump during a plane flight and that he groped her.
I hesitate to use this expression, but I'm going to. And that is, he was like an octopus. It was like he had six arms. He was all over the place.
Another woman said in 2005, she met Mr. Trump outside an elevator in Trump Tower where she worked and that he kissed her on the mouth. Meanwhile, Mr. Trump marveled at all the signs of support from women at a rally yesterday.
Women for Trump. I don't get these polls.
Meanwhile, the Trump campaign distributed a letter to the Times executive editor demanding a retraction and saying the article is reckless, defamatory, and libel. Was it typical locker room banter among men or an unacceptable description of conduct amounting to sexual assault? Americans quickly fell into starkly different camps on whether Donald Trump's remarks were really just one of those things. A new Wall Street Journal and NBC News poll conducted just after the tape became public. A plurality, 41%, found the comments, quote, completely unacceptable. A deeper dive into the numbers from Journal writer Neil King. Neil, what have you found?
So it was, you know, it was interesting just in terms of the, was this inappropriate but typical of how some men talk in private, kind of like, this is just the way guys are in locker rooms. We found that overall 34% of people that we polled saw it that way. A plurality, 41%, thought it was completely unacceptable and amounted to something more like him talking about something that was sexual assault. The numbers might seem a little lower than you'd think, in part because there were about about a fifth of people, actually 17%, that didn't really know enough about it, that hadn't, you know, spent the weekend listening to those remarks or reading about it on Twitter. So that was just sort of the backdrop. And the thing that was interesting then is you would think that there would be a pretty big gap between the way men might see it and the way women might see it, and there was. I mean, there were more women than men, 44% to 37% fell into the camp of seeing it as completely unacceptable. But in many ways, the more interesting divide was a generational divide, where if you look just among men, for instance, 43% of men under 50 were in the, this was unacceptable that he should talk that way, while just 30% of men over 50 felt that way. So, you know, you see generally the people that are younger have thinner skin about this kind of talk or look at it very differently. The gap among women was a little bit less pronounced generationally, but it was still the case that younger women thought the comments were more reprehensible and unacceptable than older women did in general. So that was interesting. You know, and we can talk about, there was a lot of other interesting things about the differences of how people judge these comments.
The age, the below 50, surprised me that those numbers of people were more disappointed or found those comments unacceptable, because I always think, okay, under 50, that generation, you know, could be, listen, anything goes. We see the incivility online. We're used to that kind of talk. So that surprised me.
Well, you know, I was actually expecting there to be a sharper divide between, say, people under 34 in the if you kind of think about millennials,
yes.
There's a much more, I don't know, sort of judgmental take on you will not speak ill of others. Sort of, I mean, there's, particularly among people that are under 25, I could see how these remarks would be seen as, like, really over the top, and much more so than, at least to me, would seem the case among people that are significantly more older. And though the divide was more of a kind of younger than 50, older than 50, it wasn't necessarily the fact that people under 25 were, like, way off the charts in terms of seeing these as unacceptable. You know, as is the case in these things, of course, it really tracks the allegiance to a party or to the candidate himself. It's impossible to separate these from the context. So, for instance, overall, just 16% of Republicans found these comments unacceptable, compared to 67% of Democrats. So, to that extent, it also, you know, you're looking at, well, there are also a lot more people that are aligned with the Democratic Party on the younger side than is the case on the older side. So that was interesting. I mean, it's one thing I found fascinating. We actually do ask people what their religious affiliation is, and evangelicals, for instance, who are pretty well disposed towards Trump, as they have been for some time, in terms of just being allied more so with the Republican Party than not, didn't find these remarks to be particularly egregious, which you would think maybe they might have, just because of, you know, it's not exactly hewing to the general tenets of what most evangelicals would believe in.
Right.
But that's sort of the way things go in terms of following one side or one party or the other party.
Thanks, Neil. Wall Street Journal writer Neil King. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday. More newly disclosed emails from Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta. The exposure was again by WikiLeaks. Donna Brazile, who was a CNN contributor and then the vice chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee, wrote in one email to Mr. Podesta that, quote, as soon as the nomination is wrapped up, I will be your biggest surrogate. In another, she appears to be in possession of a question that would be asked of Mrs. Clinton one day later at a town hall meeting, sharing it with Clinton campaign officials. White House spokesman Josh Earnest weighed in.
Much of the material that's been released in recent days has been personal email accounts that are maintained by individuals on broader networks that are not necessarily, they don't have the same kinds of government defenses in place.
Meanwhile, on the campaign trail, Donald Trump doubled down on a promise he made in Sunday night's debate.
This corruption and collusion is just one more reason why I will ask my attorney general to appoint a special prosecutor.
There was another email sent by a think tank scholar to Clinton campaign communications director Jennifer Palmieri about Wall Street Journal executives raising their children as Catholics. Ms. Palmieri wrote back, quote, "I imagine they think it is the most socially acceptable, politically conservative religion. Their rich friends wouldn't understand if they became evangelicals," unquote. 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
And several women have levied allegations of sexual assault against Donald Trump in a series of interviews, adding to the already damaging revelations about the presidential nominee's aggressive sexual comments about women. Jessica Leeds told the New York Times that Trump grabbed her breasts and tried to put his hand up her skirt on an airline flight three decades ago.
It was a real shock when all of a sudden his hands were all over me. He started encroaching on my space.
The Palm Beach Post reported stories about three women who alleged Trump had inappropriately touched them. And a reporter for People magazine wrote a first-person account of being attacked by Trump while interviewing the businessman and his wife, Melania. Trump's campaign dismissed the allegations as having no merit. Newly disclosed emails show there were close ties between Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign and top Democratic Party officials long before she wrapped up the nomination, despite a mandate that the National Party remain neutral in intra-party fights. Hacked emails from Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta sheds new light on the relationship between top party officials and Clinton's campaign. The long-delayed effort to prosecute Bill Cosby on aggravated sexual assault charges advanced, albeit slightly, yesterday when the comedian lost another attempt to get the charges tossed in Pennsylvania. Even so, Cosby's criminal trial is still a long way off, June 2017. A new study questions the value of mammograms for breast cancer screening. It concludes that a woman is more likely to be diagnosed with a small tumor that's not destined to grow than she is to have a true problem spotted early. The work could further shift the balance of whether screening's harms outweigh its benefits. Cuban cigars, Dutch bicycles, and a pair of intricate mechanical birds. Those are just a few of the gifts that President Obama and his wife received from foreign leaders last year. A gem-encrusted horse sculpture from Saudi Arabia's king tops the extravagance chart. It's made from gold-plated sterling silver, diamonds, yellow sapphires, rubies, and obsidian mounted on a rotating black lacquer base. Its value, along with a set of golf clubs and a golf bag, was estimated at nearly $523,000. Nearly all of the gifts were turned over to the government.
Yeah, we gotta pay taxes on that stuff. I mean, come on. $500,000
Everybody
sculpture.
Needs one.
23 minutes now after the hour. Happy Thursday to you. Think about this when you're pounding the steering wheel while in traffic on the way to work this morning. You can actually have a big effect on the traffic around you. Wall Street Journal writer Sue Schellenbarger says there's a growing body of research finding that an individual driver, by preventing bottlenecks and maintaining a steady speed, can sometimes single-handedly ease or break up a traffic jam. Sue, what do we have?
Well, there are ways of driving that will actually ease congestion by moving and using your vehicle in different ways. Before a jam forms, as you see a jam beginning to form, interestingly enough, there are ways that you can drive to open up space for other people and keep the congestion from getting worse. This has been shown in research, and for this story, I actually took a ride with an engineer who kind of showed me how it worked.
Interesting. All right, so do share these secrets. Although I suppose we probably know them and just don't follow them, or
yes,
don't
we
believe
do.
Them?
Yeah. Some of them we learned in driver training, okay. Such as never tailgate, open up great big gaps ahead of your car so you have more than enough space to stop, but also to let other drivers in. The orderly zipper merge, where you take turns merging when you're approaching an exit or construction zone, let the other person in readily so that a jam up doesn't form in the adjacent lane. And when you see brake lights ahead, don't race ahead and try to fill the gap so you can get there quicker. You might get there 2 or 3 seconds quicker, but if you help others keep the traffic moving by keeping a steady average speed instead, you all will get there sooner because less congestion is likely to form.
Wow. Okay. So but the one thing, like, I've become very patient and mature over the years now with driving in traffic. I'm very good. But what
good,
I can't
good
stand,
for you, Gordon.
I can't stand, it happens every time I leave a Giants game in New Jersey, and that is the guy who refuses to get in line, right? He's got to race down the highway, then at the last second, cut in onto the exit ramp.
And terrible.
Still got to angle my car to block him. I'm sorry. I still do that.
This is one of the last stands of aggressive drivers. It is, you see him as a cheater, right?
Yeah.
Because he's not waiting in, you know, he's not waiting in line with everybody else. Well, there's a more happy middle ground you might be interested to know, which is where everybody in your lane kind of slows down, and car by car, you all kind of merge one by one, taking turns sequentially.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing to wait to the end to merge, but it is a bad thing to race ahead, jam on your brakes, and force everybody else to stop while you force your way in. So it takes cooperation to end that kind of stuff, and it doesn't happen very often on the highway.
Thanks, Sue. Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy, and that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, October 13. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. U.S. Navy strikes rebel targets in Yemen. New accusations against Trump. New emails unflattering to Clinton. Two Boston cops shot and wounded. Maple Leafs rookie scores 4 goals in his debut. Nats and Dodgers game 5 tonight. Houston Rockets rookie shot free throws underhanded. It's National No Bra Day for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but the Daily Tar Heel uses a headline in a story that reads, "Free Your Tatas," and why you need to grab your fishing pole and get to Denmark now. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, big news from the banking world. Wells Fargo says Chairman and CEO John Stumpf will retire effective immediately in the wake of a sales scandal. Mr. Stumpf has been under heavy fire, including on Capitol Hill, since it was revealed that employees in the community banking division at Wells Fargo opened about 2 million accounts without customer authorization. That, of course, led to a $185 million fine. So where does that leave the bank's customers? We're joined now by business and civil litigation attorney Waleed Tamari, founder of the Tamari Law Group, headquartered in Chicago. Waleed, good morning. What do you make of all this?
Good morning, Gordon. You know, certainly interesting times for Wells Fargo. It's a difficult time for Wells Fargo, obviously, as you mentioned. There's a change. It's a new direction. But from a legal standpoint, they're facing a lot of problems. They've just, as you mentioned, they paid $185 million to the Consumer Protection Bureau, to Los Angeles. John Stumpf himself has forfeited $41 million in stock awards. And several additional investigations are underway. Class action lawsuits have been initiated. It's a tough time for Wells Fargo.
What kind of charges could he be facing?
Are you talking about John Stumpf personally?
Yeah, Mr. Stumpf. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the Department of Justice has already initiated an investigation, as well as the SEC. And Mr. Stumpf has been named in class action litigation. It's too early to tell, okay? It's too early to tell whether John Stumpf's culpability or whether he's been involved in wrongdoing so far in this case. Because remember, John Stumpf wasn't fired. John Stumpf retired. He resigned.
Yeah.
So the resignation could be one of, really, from Wells Fargo's standpoint, could be one of three reasons. It could be a PR move to indicate for Wells Fargo to indicate to the world that they're pursuing a new direction, right, a new vision.
Okay, right.
Or alternatively, maybe in their investigation they uncovered wrongful conduct by Stumpf.
Right.
That's a possibility. Or lastly, Stumpf may have just decided it was time for him to retire. The investigation is in its early stages, Gordon. I think it's premature to tell.
You think he could be sued by individuals?
Well, he's already been named he's already been named as a defendant in some of these class actions. There have been three types of class actions, Gordon, that have been filed. Consumers that have been the subject of these fake bank accounts that have allegedly been opened, as well as credit cards that have been allegedly opened, have filed a class action. Shareholders have also filed a class action against Wells Fargo. And then former workers have also filed class actions against Wells Fargo, claiming that they were working in unrealistic sales expectations. And in some of those class actions, Mr. Stumpf has been named personally.
Can you could you join a class action now if you wanted to?
Yeah. It's early stages, and if you're a member, if you fit in terms of the definition of what a class is, in other words, if you are a consumer who's been victimized allegedly by this wrongful conduct, yes. If you're a shareholder at the time of the alleged wrongdoing, yes. If you're a former worker that was allegedly subjected to these unreasonable sales expectations, yes, you can join a class action.
Speaking live this morning with attorney Waleed Tamari, founder of the Tamari Law Group, which is based in Chicago, talking about the Wells Fargo chairman and CEO John Stumpf stepping down effective immediately over this sales scandal. How about any legal precedents that there might be for this type of legal action?
Well, you look back at, again, every case is different. Again, it's early, but you look back at everything that transpired from the 2008 mortgage financial crisis. And, this whole thing is about trust, right? So what happened in terms of legal precedent, and something I would keep an eye on, is the Department of Justice investigation. So the Department of Justice is investigating Wells Fargo. And the reason it's significant, Gordon, is if you look at the recent settlements that some of these other banks have settled, have gotten into with the Department of Justice as a result of the mortgage foreclosure crisis of 2008, these settlements have been in the billions of dollars for each of the banks. Deutsche Bank, a few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, the Department of Justice issued a $14 billion settlement demand against Deutsche Bank. Now, that's a settlement demand. It's probably not going to settle at that point.
Okay.
But the point is, in terms of precedent, your question, in terms of where this could go, the Department of Justice investigation is really important and meaningful to keep an eye on because the damages could be substantial.
Right. Hey, thanks for a few minutes, Waleed. Good talking to you again. Waleed Tamari, founder of the Tamari Law Group, headquartered in Chicago. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us on this Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories he'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, as we know, there's been a lot of talk about lewd behavior of men toward women in the news this week, and one small business in New York has responded by implementing a 7% man tax. A photo shared online shows the front of the Thompson Chemist Pharmacy advertising the new tax designed to raise awareness of gender pricing discrimination, citing a New York City Consumer Affairs study. Which found that, on average, products marketed to New York women cost 7% more than those marketed to men. Now, to be clear, the men aren't being charged more, but instead are paying the 7% sales tax, while women can shop tax-free. The owner of the shop says that the reaction has been positive on both sides of the gender aisle so far. The women are happy, of course, and men have yet to complain. So far, they've just laughed.
Turn around.
and went on and ordered whatever they wanted online at home.
Right. Well, yeah. That's the thing. I mean, you know,
and avoided sales tax altogether.
Right. And in the end, I mean, you know, the only one who's who's hurt is them. I mean, either, you know, the men are going to be offended, they're going to leave, or, I mean, as far as the women are concerned, they have to pay that sales tax anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So they're actually, you know, making 7% less money by not charging the women sales tax.
But again, a clever approach.
Oh, yeah.
By this Thompson Chemist's Pharmacy. Very good. I like it.
Yeah. It's
thinking outside the box, promotional wise.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. And a Kentucky college student, Gordon, paid the price for getting too close to a raccoon when the animal snatched his cell phone. Video shared by Bellarmine University student Guy Williams showed the wily raccoon running off with his phone in its teeth as he attempted to film the furry thief. The raccoon's feet can be seen scurrying away with a distraught Williams as he shouted out Stanley, a name he had given to the raccoon just minutes before. The good news for Williams and anyone else who might have this happen to them is that he was able to get the phone back without harming himself or the raccoon. His buddies started calling the phone, and Stanley got spooked, dropped the phone, and presumably ran off to look for another easy target to steal from.
Wow. How about that he was that close to the raccoon that it could snatch the phone?
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Raccoons are not someone you want to, especially, you know, with rabies or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, you do not want to get close to a raccoon.
What are you thinking there, college kid?
College kids...
Back off.
Probably not the dumbest thing that these college kids did on this particular day.
Thank you, Mike. It's 14 minutes now in front of the hour.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. Time now for a health and wellness update, and it's brought to you by Rite Aid. Get your flu shot at Rite Aid today, free with most insurance plans. Age restrictions apply in some states. See your Rite Aid pharmacist for details. You may have heard about a new survey that found big cities win out over small ones when it comes to healthy, happy residents. But why cities like Boston, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, D.C.? The Gallup survey found it's largely because of sidewalks, parks, and good public transportation. The bottom five cities, Tulsa, Durham, North Carolina, Indianapolis, OKC, and Fort Wayne. But NBC News says smaller cities without the natural infrastructure can make changes. For instance, the town of Albert Lea in Minnesota established more than 10 miles of bike lanes and new sidewalks and enhanced streets to support walking and biking. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Bermuda is about to get pummeled by a major Category 4 hurricane. Eric Blake of the National Hurricane Center says Hurricane Nicole will hit the tiny British island today with maximum sustained winds of 130 miles an hour, but it should not make U.S. landfall.
After Bermuda, we expect it to move to the northeast and begin to weaken over cooler waters.
Rains already are hitting Bermuda, and authorities have ordered schools and government offices closed. The Navy has retaliated for missiles fired at its ships off the coast of Yemen in recent days by destroying three radar sites in rebel-held territory. The Navy's counterattack with multiple Tomahawk land attack cruise missiles was approved by President Obama. The Pentagon says the sites appear to have been destroyed. Two women have accused Donald Trump of inappropriate touching in a story published by the New York Times, claims his spokesman calls fiction. The report was followed by a stream of similar allegations from other women, putting more pressure on the Trump campaign as it lags in national opinion polls and struggles to contain a crisis caused by the candidate's comments about groping women without their consent that surfaced last Friday. Authorities say a man wearing body armor and armed with an assault rifle shot two Boston police officers before being shot and killed by other officers. Police Commissioner William Evans says the suspect fired at the officers last night shortly after they arrived at a home in the city's East Boston neighborhood.
Right now it looks like it was possibly a domestic incident gone bad.
Two wounded officers were hospitalized in extremely critical condition early this morning. Someday soon, motorcycle riders won't need helmets or padded clothing, and they won't need to put their feet on the ground when they stop. BMW is working on a motorcycle that will be able to balance itself. The company this week unveiled a concept bike that also has an electronic safety cage that communicates with other vehicles and road sensors to help it automatically avoid crashes.
This sounds like we are on the path to self-driving motorcycles.
That's what it's going. Yeah, definitely. We're getting there.
That completely takes the fun out of it. I can understand you might like driving a car, but man, a motorcycle?
Why?
You can't have a self-driving motorcycle.
Oh, sure you can.
The thrill is in driving it, I thought.
It's riding it, going fast.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Coming up next, all fishermen report to Denmark now. Here's a story for my fellow fishermen. Pack your bags. Time for a road trip to Denmark. Danish anglers are rushing to a western Denmark fjord to catch some of the up to 80,000 farmed rainbow trout that have been accidentally released there, hoping to keep them from upsetting the area's ecological balance. CBS News says a cargo ship Monday accidentally tore apart a fish farm, a netted fish farm, about 124 miles west of Copenhagen in the western Baltic Sea, setting free the entire trout farm, which was estimated to hold 250 tons of fish. Now authorities fear the farm trout will wreak havoc on the region and eat the eggs of other trout species. A spokesman for an environmental group is urging fishermen to grab their rods and catch as many as possible, and that he'll be joining them this weekend. He says, get yourself a fishing license and get out there. The more the better. He says the rip happened at the worst time because sea trout are about to spawn and their eggs are yummy for rainbow trout, which are used to being fed. A mess in Denmark. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.